Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get Cast Iron Strong.
Dude, if you've been wondering where to find the largest selection of custom glass products in Central Oregon, wonder no more. At Vision Smoke Shop, located on Southwest 6th in Redmond, they feature one-of-a-kind stuff from 16 local glass blowers. They don't only blow glass, they blow your mind, man. They got great prices on hookah products and tobacco, too, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Literally, the friendly staff can educate you. They'll be happy to get you up to speed on everything Vision Smoke Shop has to offer. Thinking your hectic disc golf schedule might make it tough to stop by? They understand. And at Visions, they've got everything you need to make your disc golf experience perfect. So it's worth your trip, because if there's one thing they don't like to see wasted, it's time. While you're there, be sure to check out the selection of custom painted longboards. Visit facebook.com/visionsmoke for a first-hand look at some of their unique items. Their prices are already affordable, and they also give a 10% discount to OMMP cardholders, because if there's another thing they don't like to see wasted, it's money. What do they like to see wasted? Well, you figure that one out. Vision Smoke Shop. Located in downtown Redmond, the glassiest place in Central Oregon.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Clench Custom Mouth Guards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media. Always supporting local MMA, you're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
MMA Madhouse live. We're about to just burn it down. We've got a great show lined up, and I can't mess around, because if we wait too long, we might lose the other half of this kick-ass show. So let's get him in here.
Selection.
Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother. And I think she's first, your monkey ass.
Lapaki, how are you tonight, sir?
Good, buddy, good, man. What's going on?
You almost lost me
before the show even started with your wise-ass Red Sox jokes.
I would like to apologize right now to Eddie Blackburn. I forgot you guys were Yankees fans. I have another friend named Eddie and another friend named Rob that are Red Sox fans. I get you guys messed up sometimes. But totally my mistake.
Man, I'm not sure that I'm buying that. I'm pretty sure that was a full of shit apology. I'll have to ask Eddie to listen in.
Hey, it's all right. Don't the Yankees play them in the next round of the playoffs?
Got jokes tonight, folks. It's going to be one of those nights.
Hey, no,
glad that
tonight's
I brought my
A killer, man. We got John Herring going to the Abu Dhabi trials, trying to make it to the main show, going to try to make himself a name in that world, which is a very great world to be a part of. And then we got family favorite, the girl we love the most, probably one of the first ever sponsored fighters by Madhouse, Invicta fighter and badass all around lady, River Ruckus Jones will join us in the second hour. We're going to catch up with her, see what she's doing, what she's been up to, when we're going to see her beat someone up. So it's going to be a
great night. Invicta 8. I'm hoping Invicta 8. That will be the most epic thing.
Well, I'm serious.
Or let her have a fight now, like somewhere in BC, and then have her on Invicta 8.
That's the rumors I hear, is that she's supposedly going to take a pro fight or even, quote, a last amateur fight, I guess, possibly. I don't know which, because she hasn't fought yet as a pro. So we need to find out. It's just been too long and not having her on the show. She's a great, great, great guest. We love her to death. But
yeah,
I tell you what,
dude,
going on the over in Japan right now, Abu Dhabi, live on Ustream, folks. I think it's $20
in China?
Are they in China? I thought they were in Japan.
I think they're in China. Dude, yeah, but that's a ripoff, bro. You pay $20 and you only get to see one of the mats.
Yeah, there's three mats.
So there's three mats going. Yeah, so it's $60 to watch all three.
Dude, but come on, man. You don't want to watch Kyron?
Dude, that's fucking... How do I know I'm going to get to watch him?
Dude, Barrillo's
on it.
You
know, like, do you get to... Do you know what mat they're going to be fighting on so you can buy that particular mat? Because if you don't know, and you're just like, well, I'll take mat C. What if Kron never fights on mat C? Then you just spent $20, didn't even get to see the guy you're trying to see. Then if you want to take the chance and cover two mats, you got to pay $40. You want to make sure you don't miss it, you got to pay $60. It's bullshit.
I have to agree with you on that, especially because what mat is the super fight going to be on?
Yeah.
You know, that's the mat I want. That's the mat I want. I'll be honest. Look, I'll pay whatever. I mean, if my mat that I buy has, you know, the 60-kilogram women or the 99-kilogram men with Vinny on it, I would be extremely happy if I had the mat that had Vinny and the super fight. Because that's, to me, I'd like to see, hopefully, Abreu and Vinny go at it. You know, I'd like to see that fight again, or that grappling match again. I mean, there's, you know, you got Robbie Gaffrano from the USA on that same mat. But at the same time, you drop down to the 87-kilogram or the 76 male. Obviously, you got Ben Henderson and the 76 male. So if you don't get that mat, you're not going to see possibly Kyron versus Ben.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, dude. Should have been like, I mean, if they want to do something like that, just do $20, man. Give me all three mats.
Yeah, I agree. For all three.
I might pay $30. You're right. I mean, if you price it at $29.95, I'll probably buy it.
Yep. You think about this.
Not $29.99. Not $29.99. Not $30, but $29.95.
My question, you know, I really want to see what Ben does against some of the guys in that weight class. You know, like Leonardo Nogueira's in that class. Obviously, you know, Kyron, I mean, enough said there, but DJ Jackson and the U.S. guy, you know, there's some great guys in that class. But if you don't get it, you're SOL, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you're already SOL.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing is, you got eight classes of grappling men, but you got three mats. So somebody's getting extra fights on their mat.
Oh, for sure. But I just don't know. I mean, I need to go re-look because I didn't think about this when I was at it. I didn't, like, look and see if it showed you what mat.
It doesn't.
So I didn't think it did. So you're kind of, it's just a fucking crapshoot, dude. I'm not paying you $20 for a crapshoot. Sorry. I love Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I just don't like your concept for how you're going to have me pay.
I agree. Oh,
but dude,
man,
this guy we're
going
to be talking to tonight has a gold medal around his neck.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. I can't wait to talk to him here in a few minutes. We're going to have John Herring on, and I want everyone to know. Go ahead. I was just going to say I want everyone to know that Madhouse is really proud to sponsor him. you know, we try to support all forms of combat sports and grappling sports out there.
Oh, I agree, bro.
Oh, I tell you what, though, folks, if you're not looking at this weekend, I mean, let's knock the Zuffa card out of the way because that's just not that important. But obviously we have 1FC. We have XFC 26, Bellator. We've got Wild Bill's Fight Night, Prize Fighting Championships out of Colorado, which Madhouse will be also at this weekend. You know, there's a lot of good fights coming up, man. I'm excited. We got some, I believe, WOCS out of Brazil is this weekend, too. Oplot, 84, folks, Saturday morning.
You and fucking Oplot, man. I can only handle so much Oplot. I have to be honest, bro. Sometimes I just look at Oplot and I'm just like, oh, God.
Look, my favorite thing is, like, Saturday when Oplot comes on, I'm at work. So I put it on and I turn it up real loud and people come in and they hear all this Russian shit and they're like, what are you watching? I'm like, oh, some MMA action from Russia. And they're like, you understand it? I'm like, oh, yeah. I'll wait for someone to come to the door and I'll turn the volume back up and shut off Pandora Radio. Make them think I'm real hardcore. Yeah, I learned Russian. I hope Torres whoops.
Why?
Because I like Torres better.
Dude, what about, who cares about all that, man? You realize that 1FC is Friday morning. Friday is such a huge day. I wish I could take it off.
Now, my question is, you know, with the weather and everything, they're having the problems over there with the typhoon and the mudslides and the rain. And the, I saw Lenny Hart's plane got canceled. She couldn't make the flight. You know, I'm curious.
I think she ended up getting on a bullet train to Osaka to catch a flight to Singapore.
Okay,
something like
cool.
that. I remember seeing her saying that she had to get on. She was like, I'm glad I looked at my stuff because I have to get on this train right now to catch my plane in time for whatever, you know.
Oh yeah, 2:30 p.m. purple belt males. So that's what time he's going to hit the mats, Mr. John
Who,
Herring.
What?
John Herring hits the mats at 2:30. Folks, if you're there for the trials, you definitely want to go watch it, man. I love the fact that they did the huge American push in the different regions. I think it's great. Well, actually, let's call him up.
Dude, are you more excited? I want to know this. Who has more viewers Friday night, XFC or Bellator? Are you there? Skippy. Okay, I'm not really sure what's going on here again, folks. But let's do a poll here tonight during the show. If you guys all go to the MMA Madhouse Facebook page, I'm going to make a poll right now. See if I can figure out how to do this. I may not be able to anymore. That sucks. I don't even know if you guys can hear me right now.
Yeah, we can.
Oh.
We can hear you just blabbing
away. Well,
I told you I'd be right back.
Never...
I went to go get our guest, and he's in queue, and he's ready to rock.
Yeah, but...
Are you?
You didn't hear the question. No.
What's the question?
What has more views, XFC or Bellator Friday night?
XFC all day, buddy. I don't think Bellator has that impressive a card this weekend with XFC having the fights they have lined up on their card. Scott Holtzman obviously throwing down the title. You know, that right there I think is a bigger draw than most of the fights on Bellator in a whole. So, yeah, I think XFC beats Bellator 2-1 on views. The only thing that could possibly...
You think so?
The only thing that could possibly make it take it down to a 1.5-1 would be the fact that access is limited in Canada, you know, and parts of the United States. So, I don't know. I still think it's funny that 780,000 folks watch Glory, almost a mil, dude. That's great. But let's quit talking about that right now. We can jump back on that. We're going to bring on the man himself, John Herring. He's going to try to compete in the Abu Dhabi Trials. Welcome to Madhouse Live, brother. How are you doing tonight?
Fine. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, brother, we're excited. We're very glad that we could sponsor you for this. We're glad that we can get you on the show to talk about this. We're big fans of Abu Dhabi. You know, we're not Zufa Zombies on this network. And for everyone out there, why don't you tell them where you're training out of and a little bit about yourself?
I train at the Daniel Gracie Cape Cod Academy. I've also trained with, they're aligned with Cape Cod Fighting Alliance, which is in Wareham, Massachusetts. And then also aligned with Sia Tong in Boston. So I've trained some jiu-jitsu up there because my instructor, Giuliano Catino, teaches jiu-jitsu at all three places, along with Mike Gresh, who's one of his black belts.
Sick.
Myself, I've done jiu-jitsu for about, I think I'm a little over 7 years now. I'm actually a special education teacher by trade. I lived on Cape Cod. I moved from Pennsylvania in about like 11, 12 years ago to pursue my special education career. So
what got you into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
What's that?
What got you into BJJ?
Well, about 7 years ago, I did martial arts in Pennsylvania for like 9 years. I received a black belt in Kung Fu there. So I'd always loved it. I was always competing in like point fighting, that type of stuff. I got here and I got up to about 300 pounds, 290 maybe, was just unhappy. And I was talking to a friend of mine where I was bouncing at the time. And I said, you know, I want to do something. And I knew he was doing martial arts. And he said, well, you know, there's this place, this guy's house. They called it the Dungeon, where I used to train. And I started there. I lost like 70 pounds in like 7 months. I mean, it was such a shock to my body. I trained there for about four and a half years. Up until right towards the end, the last year I was there, Hene Nazare, that's fought in Bellator, was teaching. I'd received my purple belt from him. And then shortly after, they'd had some disagreements, he left for other teams and to move on to pursue his career. It wasn't working out where he was. And then shortly after that, I had spoken to Giuliano Catino because I had gone to a Naga tournament and I just got smashed in a heavyweight division. And I said, enough's enough. I went to him. He's, you know, he's the heavyweight champion of CFX right now on Cape, like in Plymouth. So he's, you know, he's a big guy himself. He had so much to teach me. And I just feel like the last 2.5-3 years I've been with him, my game's just hit a whole new level. And it's a whole new level of, like, confidence. Now. So I mean, it got me up. I'm on 4 stripes on my purple belt now with him. I love jiu-jitsu again. I'd stopped for a little while just in between those two schools. And I love it. Like win, lose, or draw. I love the competition. I love all of it. I'm not loving my weight cut this week because I'm going down a division. But other than that, you know, all's great.
Now, it's funny, you know, the explosion, especially in the last couple of years, has been great for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in America. A lot of people know the East Coast is really heavy in competition and has been with Grappler's Quest and Nagas and different tournaments for BJJ and grappling up and down the coast. You know, how many tournaments have you got to do leading up to this one? Because this is a major tournament.
I think I'm probably easily, I'd say well over probably in the 25 some tournaments since I've started. Just on the resume I have, or like placing, I've placed in top 3 in think like 16 tournaments now on our, you know, on my resume. My recent one, I just placed second at the New York Open that they just had in the summer. I went to the Worlds for the first time this year. I chose to push myself and go for it. And all I can say about it, it was a learning experience. I made a real technical error in the first round. About a couple minutes into my match, I got the clock choked. It was more just where I put my hand placement. I basically zigged when I should have zagged kind of thing. And it taught me so much. And even my teacher said when I came back that I was a very much different personality. He saw a difference in my training once I got in. Because I got to see, like, the top level in front of me and what it looked like, and I kind of got an idea of like where I have to get to. I do the competitions and stuff because I love it, not because you're never going to hear me say I'm going to win this weekend. Hands down, no, it's a promise. I've never done that in my life. I'm more about if I make a mistake, I want to know what I did wrong and how to fix it.
Have the tournaments have they gotten easier for you to get ready for, or is it still the same as the first time?
The tournaments I used to go to a lot of the Naga and Grappler's Quest, and I find that now I've been doing all the IBJJF type tournaments, where they give you a time to fight, you show up just an hour before, it's very professional, organized in that way. With the Naga and Grappler's Quest, I've enjoyed competing in those, but I feel like the IBJJF is so pure jiu-jitsu. I'm a big fan of the gi. I do some no gi, but I'm not a huge fan of competing or being no gi. I took second at the no gi Pan Ams, but that was kind of like the first tournament to like try to push myself towards physically and mentally, since I had been training with Giuliano. So I think I just, the IBJJF, the jiu-jitsu part of it, the gi is so pure, and it forces you to really work on your jiu-jitsu game. It's not you're a good wrestler, so I can just take you down and hold you. Because in these tournaments, you'll get disqualified, or you'll lose points if you just hold a guy. Like, they force you to actually, use your technique and try to submit or try to finish the fight. Can I answer that question?
No, yeah, definitely. I think because that's like one of the things that we have a buddy that is down in Arizona, and he doesn't like some of the Naga rules because he feels that it is really kind of slanted, but he prefers the Abu Dhabi type rule set, or IBJJF, you know?
Well, I went, my last tournament I went to, the guy and he had a probably 55-pound weight advantage on me. And we fought and fought and fought. And he finally got me down when I went for a double leg. I couldn't, get back up from under him. But I kept moving on the bottom. And he just kept going side to side and side to side, but never went for anything. So in Naga, I would have lost. Because it would have been 2-3 points for the side mount. But in IBJJF, he didn't make any progression. So he actually lost points. Because I kept moving. So as long as I was showing effort to try to get out from under him. But that's also part of why I'm getting out of that division. Because being 240 at the time and fighting somebody 296 is a little daunting. So.
And then now where's the break below you at?
For the next weight class?
Yeah.
It's 207.
So you're going to pick up with 240?
It would go 220 and up. And then, no, I'm going to fight at 220. So I get 220. I have to hit 220.1, I believe, is the worst I can be. And then 207s below that would be the next one down. So I'm not fighting 220 and up anymore. I'm a good size guy. I lift everything. I'm a strong guy, but they just so much to push around. And I found that when I got to my second fight from trying to push around the guy that was 296, it just wears you out just trying to move them, no matter how much conditioning you're in. So I'm a big fan of like the half guard game, being underneath, and that doesn't work well in that division.
No, dude, those guys, if you let those big heavyweights get you in half guard, it's...
Yeah, it's all that division is a battle for the top, man. That's all that division is. Like, some people are really good at it. I mean, I'm good on the top. Like, I'm heavy on the top, but it's getting one of those guys on their back, you know, when they outweigh me by 50 pounds. Forget it.
Dude, yeah, that sucks because, like, I don't like rolling with the bigger guys. Like, I'm already at a disadvantage.
Well, the school that I train at now, like, it's getting to a point where, like, the brown belts, purple belts, blue belts, I mean, I'm just amazed that I've seen such a progression of the guys I even train with, and it's a battle every night. Like, you know what I mean? They just, you know, no one's out to hurt anybody, you know, but it's such a technique battle now. The guys are just getting stronger. I mean, they're training with trainers on Cape and stuff. I mean, they're just... You're going to see a lot out of my school this year. It's good. I've got guys fighting coming up. I mean, it's good.
Now, did you ever think about doing any fights, John?
I think when I originally started, like, I thought, because I did some stand-up training, stuff like that. But I can tell you honestly, I mean, I'll do the ground and pound training, you know, that kind of stuff. But my stand-up is horrible. The most pure jiu-jitsu guys will tell you. They're, you know, stand-up's horrible for me. And punching me in the face, I get really frustrated. I have, with my stand-up not being good, I never really had good head movement. And so I'm the kind of person that the more I get punched in the face, I just keep going forward because I'm getting annoyed. And I kind of like my face just where it's at, so.
John would have made a good candidate for Cubicle to the Cage.
Well, maybe, man. I think he likes the grappling more.
Oh, is that the one where you went from the, like, your job, like, professional workers actually getting in the cage for charity?
Yeah.
Well, the show's based out of Canada, and, yeah, basically they took people out of cubicles, office jobs, housewives, and trained them for 1 year with Gracie Black Belt out of his gym in Canada, Titans MMA, and Peter. And at the end of that year, anybody who made it, if he feels they're ready, gets a shot at their pro debut. So,
nice.
It's a great show, but it's funny because you have this great ground game. I mean, really a great, solid ground game, and you're learning from a master. And, you know, to hear you say, you know, hey, don't punch me. That's not for me. I love it. I think you would have made a great candidate for the show.
Well, it's funny. When I used to be a bouncer and stuff and I was doing jiu-jitsu, you'd have all these bouncers that, you know, didn't do any jiu-jitsu or anything like that. And they're like, well, what are you going to do if you get punched? And I'm like, if I let you get far enough away from me that you're going to punch me in the face, I made a real bad mistake. Like, I'm one. Every guy I've ever taken out of a bar, I've just kind of hugged up and gone. You know what I mean? There's no.
Yeah.
But I'm moving away from that, too.
You're bouncing. You're not trying to fight, you know? I mean, that's what I used to explain to guys, because I'm a littler guy, and when I was bouncing, like, I bounced in Tulsa for a while, I would just try and talk people down, and be, you know, more than, I wasn't really looking for a fight, man.
Well,
I was looking to keep the calm, keep the peace.
Being a special ed teacher, my talking people down works really well. Fine.
Dude, I had a buddy that came up with a great idea one time, but it was kind of like a double-edged sword, where he one night came to work and wanted to use a one of those stink bomb cans. So when he would see it start to go down, he would, like, walk by and just stink, like, hit that fart spray. And
just
it would, like, disperse the crowd, you know? Like, you know, nobody would be, like, everybody would be looking around like, what the fuck?
Never thought of that one.
I didn't either, but it was an awesome idea, but then you couldn't walk over there either for a little while.
I always just got amazed working as a bouncer that people shouldn't take this wrong, but the human population was really just dumb. So, and alcohol just made it worse. I mean, it was just some of the things people would say to me, I'd have nights where I'd just look at them and go, really? You really? I had a guy, I'll tell you real quick, I had a girl one time, I took her fake ID. It was obviously fake, it was bad. And, you know, I said, what's your birthday? She said, I don't know. So I took her ID. And the guy comes out, and he's like, where's my girlfriend at? I'm like, she's outside, her ID's fake. And I said, I didn't know her own birthday. The guy literally looked at me and said, well, what's wrong with that? And I just looked at him and I said, do I really have to have this conversation with you right now? And people trying to find the menu room. I mean, that's a good one.
Maybe you should send those kind of people down to the Cape Cod Nutrition Corner and get them some, like, brain supplements.
Something, man. Something.
They should have been weeded out in the fucking circle of cycle, life cycle, bro, but they still made it.
It was just, it just shocked me. So that I don't even go out that much anymore because it's just, you know, half the time, too, I go around places around Cape Cod. I bounce enough places that people all know me, and it's probably somebody I had to leave a bar. So.
Now, what are you thinking about, John, when, like, training partners besides at your school? Do you guys have enough people around there to train, you know, with folks outside of the school?
Say that again.
Are there, like, other schools, like other BJJ schools there in the area, or is it kind of just basically your guys' school and that's really...
There's two other schools in the area. They've gone kind of up and down, switched around places, that kind of thing. One is the team I used to train with. That unfortunately I had kind of a falling out with because I basically wanted to go better myself in a situation I needed to. Nothing personal, you know, but some people took it very personal. So. And then another school actually used to be aligned with us, and some disagreements on their end happened, and they actually switched to Nova Union. So we're under Daniel Gracie, which is under Henzo. I mean, what's nice now is a lot of alignment now, you know what I mean? It's just, I see so many opportunities out of sponsors, out of people, you know, like you can see with the banner and stuff, people willing to help me just because they know I want to just compete, you know what I mean? They don't expect you have to win to do blah, 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 you know? It's just go out and fight, you know? They know I'll give 110.
So. I'll be honest, you sold yourself to us. I mean, you know, when we sat down, I don't know, 2.5 months ago and started talking to you about this, you came across as somebody who was dedicated to their profession and trying to better your craftsmanship, and you just sold yourself. You're like, hey, I just want to grapple, man. That's all I'm asking for, that shot.
You know,
and
if I walk away and I lose, I have a question. At least I can ask my teacher and say, what can I learn off of this? You know, that's all it is.
Well, you know, that's
I don't ever consider myself
that,
being a world champion. You know what I mean? If I am, great, but...
You know, whether, you know, you win the greatest championship you can possibly win or whether you just show up every day and give it everything you've got, I think, you know, at a point it becomes more about that passion that you have rolling, not so much about competition.
Yeah. That's all it is, man. It's just an enjoyment. And that's one thing, you know, I tell people all the time, Giuliano Catino is probably one of the best teachers I've ever come across, ever had. He brought back the enjoyment for me again for it, you know. He tells me all the time, just keep it positive. People get negative, so what? I had a lot of people make a lot of comments in the beginning when I switched, rude comments because I'd take a second instead of a first. And so, you know what I mean? Just people, I don't know, they had to say something. I had people say something when I sold a T-shirt for my world from my old team, called it a joke online. You know what I mean? Just negative stuff. I just, you know, I've never seen a sport with so much politics in my life.
So let me ask you, you know, I've read articles over time about, you know, kids that are physically and mentally challenged that have learned BJJ to help with developmental skills. Is that anything that you've ever seen personally or worked with?
I've seen, there's been literature passed around, stuff like that. I mean, it's something I've always been curious about, interested in maybe doing at some point, but I haven't bridged that topic with my school just yet. That'd be a rough one to bring up. Teaching a kid to, you know, we have some kids that have some physically aggressive issues, so it's like, you know, I want to teach them how to do something, hoping that they won't try it. You know.
Oh,
so that's
fair.
A tough,
you know,
one. To people who don't know the sport, that's a tough one to bridge.
I bet, you know. We've seen, I've got a friend in Australia who just got his blue belt, and, you know, he took some handicaps, and it's definitely helped him, you know, over the years learn the sport and learn to control and be disciplined in certain areas that are...
I've seen a lot of guys with, like, cerebral palsy, that type of stuff. do it. And I was, I think it was at the Pan Am's No Gi. They were the guy that was being led out to the ring because he was blind. And then there was another guy that beside me was sitting me on the bench. He's like, oh, I think I'm up next, and took his leg off. As he was sitting beside me, took the lower part of his leg off because it was a prosthetic leg. I'm like, okay, I guess I have nothing to complain about. Like, you know, it was pretty amazing to watch.
Now, where I roll out at Northwest Martial Arts in Eugene, before I started there, they had a blind guy that rolled there.
Yeah.
And in downtown Eugene, there's a really bad, like, homeless, like, vagrant problem.
Yeah.
And one night, a homeless guy tried to jump him and his girlfriend, and he ended up putting the guy in an ankle lock and breaking his leg.
That's great.
I mean, what would you, like, just imagine that, like, homeless guy, he's like, oh, here we go, easy money, we got the blind guy.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you're, like, going to the freaking hospital with a broken leg.
He won't be touching any blind people again.
No, man, not at all.
Well,
I mean, it's just, it's amazing,
point.
Like, who all, like, everybody can use, I mean, you know, BJJ is not just limited to people with sight, you know, because, I mean, how much of rolling, it's just
that's what I'm amazed
things,
about,
you know?
With the sport, is I don't think I've ever seen a sport that can acclimate to whoever does it. You know,
yeah.
We have people, there's people I've trained with that are definitely not physically talented. I'm not, I'm much more now, because of other training I've done than I was. You know, mobility-wise and stuff, and it's amazing just, you know, making a change in your game. Just, you know, Giuliano changed just a couple things for me when I started with him, and it made all the difference, you know, even just, like, where you put your knees, you know.
Yeah.
Just, it's amazing sport to me. It's the only sport I know that you love it because it aggravates the crap out of you every single day. I mean,
I love it.
Aggravated about something every day. But I love it.
I love it except when I do dumb shit and I hurt myself.
Well, as my wife always says.
And then you're out.
You pay for it.
Then you're out for a while. Like, you're like, oh, I can just power out of this choke rather than tap. I don't want to tap, you know. Like, you're like, I don't want to tap to this guy rolling.
It takes monthly to get beat on. So.
Yeah. That's, like, the thing that I have a bad habit of doing. I'm like, oh, no, don't tap. Just, and then, like,
still live.
Yeah, it's just now I'm a pro tapper, man, pro tapper.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
don't be laughing,
funny.
Skippy. You ain't gonna tap me for damn sure.
Oh, buddy, I can tap you flying scissors, okay?
Oh boy.
Oh, see, I personally. If I'm going to tap Lavaki, I got to do it in style. I got to pull out a twister or something, really make him understand getting on the mat with a professional.
You know, it's funny, they've in the IBJJF competition, they've outlawed the twister.
Really?
Eddie Bravo won so many competitions with it that they outlawed it.
That's crazy.
Or is it just because it's not a traditional gi maneuver?
Well, I think as they went away from, I think as they probably changed around their leg lock rolls too. You know, he couldn't do half the, you know what I mean, those ankle locks and stuff are only allowed in like a black belt division. So if he was coming up purple belt, brown belt, you know, and he's smoking people with this move. So.
Well, you bring up a good thing here. Let me ask you this. What did you think? I don't know if you watched the Rizmir Paul Harris fight that everybody's talking about, where he held the submission too long.
Yeah, part of me feels like he does, but the other part of me feels like Mike Pierce should know how to get out of a heel hook.
Oh, do
you know what he's going to go
that on
for.
His coach, can we blame
you
that on his coaching?
You know what he's going to go for. What does he go for every single fight?
Yeah.
And he dives in to grab your single leg, and you stand there against the cage.
That was
the
thing that, like, really confused me, was why would you start grappling with the guy while you're dry?
Watch the Alan Belcher fight. I mean, Alan Belcher didn't get heel hooked. You know?
No, he got a double leg and ground and pounded that ass.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta put him where he doesn't want to be, like, not to saying that I could do it. I'm just saying that, you know, that being a pure jiu-jitsu person like I am, I was like, you can see exactly what you're going for. I mean, he was going to drop and he was going to take your foot. Do I think that he's rough and doesn't should have held it too long? But, you know, I had some people, especially like my jiu-jitsu teacher, made a good point, too, to think about the fact that it was on free TV. It wasn't on pay-per-view. Do you think they would have had such a bad reaction if it wasn't the entire general public watching it?
Good question. That's the first time someone's brought that aspect of it up. I like
Yeah, Giuliano said that to us the other night. He was like, it's on free TV. You know, like, think about it. You have all these people, kids watching as this kid just tears apart this kid's knee. And again, the ref dove on his leg in a way that I didn't expect the ref to. And then the guy's tapping the ref. I mean, you know, I mean,
well,
it's...
yeah, that... See, that's the thing to me is that the referees tell you in every pre-fight, like, rules meeting, don't stop until I tell you to stop. Like, I've sat in a lot of rules meetings, and I always say that. Like, don't stop until I tell you to stop. Like, just because Mike Pierce is tapping doesn't mean that Paul Harris can immediately release the hold. I mean, how many times have we seen guys, oh, I wasn't tapping. What are you talking about?
I mean, it's part of the reason I love the fact the IBJJF has such tight rules on their leg locks. They don't even allow heel hooks. Even in black belt, there's no heel hooks.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a dangerous move. They don't even let you, like, leg reap. You know how he brought his leg over his leg while he was heel hooking?
Yeah.
Like, putting the foot over the hip? You'll get disqualified if your foot crosses the center line like that.
I mean, dude, the way he brought that heel hook on was beautiful, though. I mean, it was a beautiful heel hook. He sat on his foot and spun that leg right around.
The guy from Brazilian Top Team, though, said that he used to do that to people in practice all the time. He'd hurt people left and right, and that was half the reason he ended up leaving Brazilian Top Team.
Now, we went and had lunch with Luis Pedro, a renowned black belt out of Brazil, this past weekend, and he told us that literally Paul Harris, for a year, sat on the mat and just watched, and then one day got up, walked over, and tapped everybody out on the mat. So
I mean,
like,
if you look at him, he's a phenom. I mean, he's good, but, I mean, he's won the ADCC, like, no gi, whatever. I mean, but he did the same thing in the ADCC. He held onto a heel hook too long.
Yeah.
He's done it, you know, numerous times, so. I just think in the UFC, though, I think you're at a certain level where I just watched Mike Pierce go up against the fence and pop a heel hook on. I mean, why wasn't he moving around and getting away? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't clinch up with the guy if I know he's going to drop and break my foot.
Can you do a straight knee bar in IBJJ?
I can do a straight ankle lock.
Straight ankle lock?
When I get the brown belt, I believe it's a knee bar, a brown belt, and then a... You can do all three. You can do a toe hold, knee bar, or ankle lock at black belt. But blue belts and white belts can't do anything.
No calf slicers or anything either?
Nope, no calf slicers. I don't know if they've added back calf slicers. I think they might have added a bicep slicer back. I'm not quite sure.
Dude, the bicep slicer is... That shit sucks.
Yeah. I've only used the bicep slicer only to try to get an arm free on an arm bar. Like, I'll put my feet up over the guy's arm and try to pinch it down that way to get the arm free. But with my guys I train with, that doesn't usually work, so.
Sounds like we're on that.
It's the best people I've ever trained with, by far. So.
John, I can't wish you enough luck, man, brother. We're proud of you. We think what you're doing is great. I love the fact that you're not worried about going into another sport. You're worried about trying to get as great as you can at this sport. And, you know, you got the trials coming up real soon. You know, I want to see you go in there and do well no matter what. You know, Madhouse is going to stand behind you. We're very proud of you. Before we run out of time with you. Oh, hey. Yeah, brother. This is a long-term relationship. Take this time.
Skippy, you're
kind of
weirding me out right now, bro. This is a long-term relationship, man. We're going to be in this for the long haul. You know, I mean, God, dude, can
you
tell me
to
stay
here? Okay.
Hey, bro,
hey,
we got your back, dog.
We're
going to
kick ass with you for the next 6 years, bro. I don't care if you're in prison.
Yeah.
I got your back.
I don't know about that part. Oh, but, I mean, if he goes to if he goes to prison, we might stop sponsoring him. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I mean,
hey,
unless
you,
you can start doing what was that movie with Ving Rhames where they fought in the prison? If you start doing shit like that, we might we might increase your sponsorship.
Oh, well, I'll give it some thought.
Hey, John, this is your time, man. Shout out to sponsors, social media, anybody you want to thank, whatever. This is your time.
I always thank my wife first. Though I don't think she's listening. She's in the other room, actually. But I always thank her first because she's gone to every tournament I've ever had. She fell asleep in the stands at lake tournaments. I mean, she's been there for all of it. My teacher, Giuliano Catino, Mike Gresh, who got me up training with those guys in the first place. My team at Daniel Gracie, Cape Cod Academy, Thea Tung, Cape Cod Fighting Alliance, the best support team you could ever have. Sponsor-wise, I mean, you guys, thank you very much for taking me on. Fuji, the BatinoDiet.com, best meal plan for fighters, for anybody, for their health that I've ever done in my life. It's not even a diet. It's more like a lifestyle. You guys should check it out. The Cape Cod Nutrition Corner, become a huge local sponsor for me. Dale Ruthier, who's a fitness trainer on Cape, he's done wonders for my strength already in probably a 7-8 week period. I've known him forever. He's a big help. Breakwater, it's my friend's business on Cape that came out to help me for this. Prime Athletic Corporation is the one that did the banner for me. If you guys need anything done, you should check him out. Sean Rockwell is amazing what he'll do for you. I'm just trying to think of everybody that's on the banner. The local businesses that helped me, there was a band, Rochambeau, that I've been friends with through bouncing and stuff for a long time. They stepped up and helped me. I just can't say enough to everybody that's, you know, always stepped up to help me. So it's an amazing, it's an amazing thing to see people get behind you in the sport.
Hey,
Funky Monkey MMA Radio, too. We're one of the first ones to jump on.
Good friends of ours.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Rob's a really nice guy.
Yeah, we like him. Another fighter we sponsor, a guest host on that show, Lehi Dominguez. So, yeah, we like what they're doing for the community. We think it's great.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I did an interview with him a little while back. He's a good guy.
Hey, and before I get you off tonight, the air, and I, yeah, shut up, Lepaki. That came out completely wrong. Before we get you off the air... Yeah, see, this is what happens when you have too many martinis before the show.
You guys
going to
be all right?
Better. Yeah. So, you know, the conversation we had last night, we're going to do what we can to help you out. I'll talk to you private, but, yeah, we've got a little something for you.
Cool. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem, man. Like I said,
right.
We want to see you get there and have fun and do good. Tell your wife thank you for you know, everything she does for you to help you get there from us. And look, go out there, have fun, man, tap some people.
All right, brother. Thank you, guys.
Everybody, you guys, check him out on Facebook. He's under John P. B. That's how you find him on Facebook. And anybody out there who can make it to the trial, get out there and watch him, man. Watch some guys, some kids, some ladies. It's going to be a blast. It's a great time. Yeah, Lepaki, great guy, man. I'm super excited to see what he does. I love the fact that he just cares about this sport. You know, we talk to so many people who progress into MMA, you know, from ground or from Thai or from boxing or wrestling. It's just nice to see purists still.
I agree, man.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It is going to be a few minutes, folks, but here in about 20 minutes or so, we'll have River Ruckus Jones on. I'm super excited about that. That's going to be rocking. So what do you think, man?
About?
What do you think about what you got going on Facebook, all those people? How many people are liking Bellator versus XFC?
Well, yeah, the point isn't for you guys to like it. The point is for people to put down their answer. And you put down an answer that wasn't even an option. I give you two answers, and somehow you can't follow the directions.
Me?
Yeah, you. XFE. I'm like, I'm asking a question about XFC and Bellator, and you're like, XFC has a way better card.
Good.
I'm like, XFE is on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right.
And I will be tuned into that, though. I will be tuned into that.
I'm super pumped about that card. But I'll be honest, I was supposed to type XFC, but too many, you know, when you go to highlight shit, it all comes up.
Oh, hell yeah, it does. Dude, have you heard anything about
FC?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I caught a little bit of some of the fight, but I ended up having to work for a little bit, too. And I had to, you know, farm. And so I didn't see the Deion Starring fight, but from what I understand...
He lost first round submission.
I understand there's a replay running around of the fights. I just haven't been able to find it yet. I'm going to hit Ernie up after we're done with the show while I sit out here and do what I got to do all night. Work.
Do what you got to do, S.A. Do what you got to do,
man. I can't believe I said that
do
shit.
Do it. Yeah, man, get him off, bro.
Oh, man. You said that. Put your foot in your mouth. That's not dude. That's
dude, you did it twice,
top.
Man. Like I was like, wow, man, really, Skip? Lehigh's probably gonna feel
night,
all left
buddy.
Out now.
Scooter news all night.
Dude, scooter news. Scooter news. So, how about the resounding response to Cage Quest 4 that we've had in the short amount of time since Cage Quest 3?
Oh, definitely. I'm super pumped. Honestly, because I know that Chris Gregory's coming from MMA Topics out of Missouri. He's coming up here to cover that event with us. And, I mean, the fights obviously are going to be insane. They always are. I mean, it's the best amateur card around that I've seen in a long time. I mean, a long time. The fights were just outrageous. But bringing Chris up from Topics to cover the event with us, that's just icing on a cake, bro. I'm super pumped about that.
Man, I wish I could tell you the things that I've been having conversations about. You'd be so excited for Cage Quest 4.
Oh, that's right. You know everything. You're the only one who talks to Eddie. Go ahead.
I better be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, listen to you. You're like, yeah. You think anything's slipping by without Skip Dog Nolan? Think anything's going to slip by without Skip Dog Nolan?
Skip Dog knows everything, man.
Skip
it's a
dog,
sad,
huh?
Sad business, you know. Hey, by the way, Friday is going to be insane, dude. All I got to say, Ben Stark live from Bangkok on the Rogue Show to break
down. We're
going to
have the
fight.
Roast of the Dwayne Spivey roast.
Yeah. What else is going on Friday? Something else.
Ben Stark and Ben. No, that's it, dude. Ben Stark and talking Derek, bro.
No, there was somebody. Something else is going on Friday on the show, isn't there? Oh yeah, GFL's joining us to give away tickets for XFE 27. That's right, tickets and iPay-per-views, both. You folks, all you gotta do is change your profile picture to XFE MMA 27 fight poster, or make up your own fight poster and post it on GFL, XFE, MMA Madhouse, or the Rogue Show's wall, or make up your own highlight video of your favorite fighter and post it on any of those walls. Tag any of us in that. You're automatically going to be entered. He's giving away a bunch of tickets for folks who can actually make the event, and he's going to give away some iPay-per-views for those who live outside the region. So, free, easy wins.
Hey, dude, before we go into pay the bills time, let's you know, I want to make sure everybody, you know, understands that the MMA community, especially the amateur MMA community, lost one of the biggest, best, baddest supporters of the sport ever when Barry Meyer passed away earlier this week. You know, the things that he was doing with Tough Enough down there in Las Vegas. Things that Barry and those guys are doing down there was phenomenal for...
Sorry. That...
That's it. You got it under control, bro? You got it under control?
Do.
You trying to support tonight?
Finish, sir.
No, but, you know, Barry was a huge supporter of amateur MMA, and he will be greatly missed. The service, if you guys are in Las Vegas, is going to be Friday at King David Memorial Chapel and Cemetery at 2 p.m. The address is 2967 East El Dorado Lane. If you want to go or if you want to send something, you know, to the service, that's the place. You can go to Tough Enough's Facebook page. That's TUFFNUFF. They'll have that information right there for you at the top of their page. But, you know, again, we just want to send our deepest condolences out to the Tough Enough family and to amateur mixed martial artists across the world that got to interact with Barry. And for those of you that won't, you don't understand really what you'll be missing out on.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, I was really bummed to hear that. First of all, you know, what he has done for the sport is insane, especially at the amateur level. He's produced so many fantastic fighters, and he was giving women at a lot of weight classes an opportunity to fight on a big stage, you know, for amateurs before anybody was. You know,
sure.
It's a sad, sad thing.
I mean, dude, how many people do we know have been down and fought it Tough Enough? I don't know how many people we've had on the show. I bet you that 70% of the West Coast pro regional fighters that we've had on have fought at Tough Enough.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, like, I can tell you, like, I know that, like, Mercedes has fought at Tough Enough, Courtney's fought at Tough Enough. Brenna Larkin's fought at Tough Enough. Taylor Strapper's fought at Tough Enough. Paige Van Zandt. The Live Barber Twin. Liz McCarthy. I think Sia Wolf, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% on that one. I think Kyra Batara just fought down there, and I think she's fought there a few years back, too. You know, I mean, that's just, like, off the top of my head, dude. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could have probably got a couple of those wrong. Yeah, dude. I mean, dude, right now Boston Salmon is fighting there. And if you people have not, like, if you think that there's no point in watching amateur fighting, go watch a Boston Salmon fight, dude. That kid is amazing to watch. He will be an amazing pro fighter one day, and he's been fighting it Tough Enough. So, I mean, Tough Enough, Ultimate Reno Combat, like we've said before, two steps ahead of all the organizations across the country as far as the amateur talent. But I'm going to tell both of those organizations this, that if Cage Quest continues to put on amateur fight shows like they just did this last weekend, there will be a third name added to that list.
Yeah. Well, let's
face it. Dude, because just think, bro, that card was so sick. That, you know what, man, I'm hoping Eddie can find a way to open that up to maybe some Idaho guys, Oregon guys, you know, something like that. I think that would be way awesome.
I agree. Look, we're going to pay some bills. Folks, we'll be right back after commercial and a quick song.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success.
At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Listen up, if you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Clench Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Yo, Skip. What's up, man?
Oh, not much, brother. Looks like you look refreshed. Got a little bit of tobacco in your system. You ready for round two?
I got some medicine, yeah.
You know what? I went outside real quick, man, and wow, has the temperature dropped.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking cold, bro.
Dude, I was like, whoa. Started shaking. I was like, hold on.
It's like, man. Dude, it's like, man, in the morning it's like 35 degrees when I leave my house, bro. I'm like, this shit is for the birds. You need to fix your camera. Fix your lens.
Okay.
There you go.
Is that better?
Look at
that. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's better.
Now I can see.
Man, that's sexy. Look at that, man. I'm a damn good-looking man. Like, look at me.
Yeah.
Man.
And that's why the pimp asked you to go knock on the door. He was like, oh, he's pretty. he was like, this motherfucker will scare the shit out this bitch.
Oh, man, I did. I had a blast, man. I have this old guy who comes in every day to the grow shop when I work. He likes to talk MMA. And I told him about the event. He's like, why didn't you call me? My daughter lives up there. I could have stayed with her. I was like, I will next time. So he's going to drive up for Cage Fest 4 and watch it.
Really?
He's only ever been experienced to the UFC. Honestly, he's a Zuffa zombie until he met me. Because he's like, he never even watched a Bellator event or a Legacy or Maximum. He's only ever watched UFC. But now that he comes into the shop and I'm like, I'm throwing up, KSW highlights or, 1FC promos. He's like all over this stuff now. Like, he comes in all the time and like, he'll start whipping out stuff I don't know. He's like, dude, what about this guy? Okay, I understand he fought in this tournament here in West Saigon. And after that, he migrated to East Africa where he took the Mozambique title. What do you think of this guy? And I'm like, well, let me research him a little bit, man. You start to pull names I don't know. So I love it, dude. Conversion. Love it. He's converted, man. Now he's like checking out local MMA. So it's cool. And the guy's like 65, man. Just a cool dude to have at the shop all day.
I bet, dude. Does he help you unload the pallet?
No, dude, every time the pallet comes, he's like, okay, I got to go. Every time. He's smart. And his excuse is always, I have that lady at that house. You can't leave her too long. But then he comes in my shop. He's like, God, I got to get away from that woman.
He's like, I don't know what I'm trying to do right now. Leave me alone. Leave me alone for a second, Skip. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, I definitely got to dip out. Those look heavy. Yep, I'm out of here.
Well, and we're remodeling the shop, and we're moving the soil room to, like, farther away. And I was like, shit, we better put a metal ramp in here because I got a heister. I know there's, like, 3,000 pounds for each pallet for soil. And it sucks unloading it by hand. It totally sucks. Especially when that soil comes in soaking wet, because then it's like 50-pound bags. I got to do 75 of them. So he's moving it even farther away. And I was like, Chris, man, come on, brother. You've got to put a ramp in so I can start. Because once it's inside, we use the heister. But the ramp right now is wooden. It won't hold the weight. It'll crack. And I'm like, dude, let's put a metal one in there, right? When we do all this construction, let's just put a metal ramp in there. That way I don't have to unload soil no more. I can just grab a pallet, jack it up, and drag it in on a heister, But he's like, I don't know, man. That's a lot of money. I'm like, shit, man. I'm going to be carrying soil like 40 steps instead of 10. And I'm fat. I'm lazy. I'm old. None of that works well for me when it's time to unload soil.
Hey, bro.
Oh. Hey.
It happens to the best of us, buddy.
But, hey, I can't lie. Good, it's a good job, man. I kill it. Folks love me. Damn, because I look at myself, no wonder people like me. I'm a sexy motherfucker. Damn.
What the hell? Dude, what did you take today? Did you go to, like, the doctor and get some, like, Wellbutrin or some shit? What the hell has gotten in? Are you on Lexapro?
Yeah, actually, I just started Lexapro today, man. I'm feeling happy and loving. That's why I want to get people off.
You and Travis Luter, bro.
Oh, dude. Trey threw that in my face today. We were talking about a fight. He goes, dude, he was at my house the other week. You know what he gave me? I was like, just stop, Trey. Just stop.
It was awesome.
Oh. Well, before we get too crazy, you want to call Miss River?
Well, I think you have to call her because the keyboard's right in front of you.
Okay. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Dude, I want to talk about... Some people need to go answer the poll question, for one. It's on MMA Madhouse Facebook page. It's on my Facebook page. And it's even posted in the forums on Tapology, so you can go there and answer as well. But let's talk about something coming up this weekend. We've got a super stacked 1FC fight card that goes down Friday morning. Got main event Bibiano Fernandez versus Suul Chua Kim. That fight is going to be to unify the bantamweight title. And then you're going to have a co-main event with Shinya Aoki and Cody Stevens. It looks like Skippy's ready to rock. Maybe he's not. 1FC, total domination. Let's talk about 1FC for a minute. There's some rumors floating around this week that the UFC is going to buy them out. I really hope that turns out to not be true. I think that would kind of be like the worst thing that could happen to Asian MMA right now. I think 1FC is a great outlet that, you know, these fighters can have. That, you know, they're not just all guys from Southeast Asia. There's some Americans fighting on the card, so that's always good. I can't tell what Skippy's got going on right now. Nope, he's still not ready, folks. But it will be a sick little card, 1FC, hoping that they don't get bought out by Zuffa. I don't really want that to happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing them keep going. Don't try to compete with Zuffa. Just do your thing, man. I think that's kind of where Bellator went wrong, is they, you know, Viacom decided that they wanted to compete with Zuffa rather than just, you know, keep doing the Bellator thing. Cool, buddy. I was talking to Skippy there. Everybody, he's going to be calling her live on the show here momentarily. What are you doing, man? Oh, yeah, I know. I see that. You're calling her live. Good job, fella. Can you not talk?
Hello?
Hey, good evening, River. This is the crazy guys over at MMA Madhouse. What's up?
How's it going?
Not much. How's it going up there?
It's going well.
This is Lepaki. I don't know where Skippy's at right now. I'm not really sure what's going on. He said his phone took a shit. Now he's good to go. So I think that might be some interesting subject matter for us to discuss, is how his phone took a shit.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, I grabbed a different one. Sorry. I apologize. Everybody, River Ruckus Jones, the baddest woman walking the planet today. How are you, young lady?
What did you scare
her?
Is
she not on with us?
Yeah, dude.
Sorry,
I
totally missed that.
Oh, okay, see. Like, now you guys, I thought you guys were messing with me. How are you doing tonight, Miss River Jones?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great. Been looking forward to talking to you for a few weeks. It's been about probably 3.5-4 months since we got to talk to you, so time to catch up, see what's going on, see when we're going to see you fight again. So for all the fans out there who might not know who you are, do you want to tell them where you're fighting out of and what your record is?
So I fight out of Pride Gym here in Trail, BC. And my record as an amateur is 6-0, and it's looking like I'm going to take one more amateur fight this November 30th, so we're looking for an opponent right now.
Yes! I'm glad that you're fighting.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and that was his thinking, is he'd like to see you take one more fight before you go into Invitka and start to clean them out. So you said you're still looking for an opponent. For what event, if we can ask?
Say that again, sorry?
For what event?
For Cage Rage 7. So it's the one that takes place at the club in Castlegar, which is probably one of my favorite events. It's always got super intense fans and great energy, and it's always a really awesome night.
That's the club with the second floor on it, right above the cage.
Yeah, and like the smallest cage in the world, I think. It's like three steps and you're kind of out of room.
It's like fighting in a phone booth, huh?
Yeah, basically.
So, at this point, you said you still don't have an opponent, but are you starting your camp then?
Yeah, we're kind of kicking things off this week, so just hitting the grind and getting all the boys out and that sort of thing. So I'm going to have a fairly good team to train with for this one, so I'm excited for that. Well, as excited as you get for you know, the grueling schedule.
Well, you've got to be somewhat excited. You know, you've had a lot going on. You've had to step away for a little bit, but now you can get back into the grind of things. I mean, does that excite you to get back to the camps and the fighting again?
Oh, you don't even know. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So it's sort of been like one thing after another that's kept me out of there, but I haven't stopped training and I haven't stopped working with some really amazing coaches, so I'm really excited to get in there and just sort of release the fury, so to speak. I'm pretty stoked.
Are you maybe more excited for this fight than you've been for some of them, just because we know how much you like to compete? And being away from it for so long, are you just like, is this maybe even more, have you more excited than, say, your first fight?
Oh, absolutely. And I just have, you know, a little more confidence in the skill set I'm going to bring in there. And because I was out due to some injury, you know, you get more frustrated. So I'm kind of like a badger been poked through the cage, you know what I mean? I'm just irritated and ornery, and I just want to get in there and get it done.
Are your training partners glad you're going to have a fight so maybe you'll stop taking it out on them?
Yeah, well, they were kind of feeling sorry for me for a little while, so I had a couple offers where they said they would just take me to the mall and we'd try to pick a fight with somebody.
Great.
You know what's bad? Sometimes I get really bad road rage, and sometimes I had this incident happen where this guy cut me off and was, like, hanging his middle finger out the window, and I'm just sitting there, like, kind of hoping he tries to pull me over just so I could have that kind of fight going on. So you know it's bad when you're sort of hoping someone is going to antagonize you to the point where you're just like, hold on, and then you get your mouth guard out of the car because I don't want to mess up my teeth. And then you just fight on the side of the road. Is that classy or what?
Dude,
that
River,
is
this
great.
Is what you're rad, dude. This is great. She's like, I just put my mouth guard in. We can throw down. If a girl got out of a car and had a mouth guard in, I would be like, okay, it's time to rethink this fucking situation and recalculate our game plan.
I know, and I was totally shit-talking him in my car, telling him how he had two little boys in his car, and I'm like, oh, no, you don't want to get beat up by a girl in front of your two sons, so you better not get out of your car. But I'm so tough when no one can hear me, right? I got my, like, gangster hip-hop playing, and I'm just going to take on the world. But I got to put my mouth guard in first, so.
Are you a road rager that flips people off, or do you, like, yell at them even with your window up and, like, have hand gestures?
No, I'm, like, I don't flip people off or anything like that. I'm more, like, I'm just going to be passive-aggressive and let you flip out and cut me off, and then I'm going to tailgate you excessively, and I'm going to just yell at you in my car, but I'm not going to undo my window, and then when I pass you, I'm just going to give you the shit glare, and that's it.
It's funny, because I had a guy who got all over my ass a couple months ago driving into town, and, you know, I let him go around, you know, and I got on his ass. Homeboy slows up and whips out a gun at me. I was like, well, sorry, you win.
Change my mind, we're
but
cool.
Now, see, that's here in America. Up there, you Canadians are a lot more well-rounded and calm.
Yeah, well, people smoke a lot of pot up here, so you tend to be a little more mellow.
Well, now, and also, aren't most Canadians mellow this week because you're still coming off your turkey coma from Thanksgiving?
Maybe. I don't know. Hope so.
And did you maybe purposely plan a fight later in November so you could experience and enjoy a good Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, well, the around Christmas because it's like, yeah. I drink a lot of Baileys at Christmas, not like in an like intervention kind of way, but like in a my pants don't fit anymore kind of way. So that's a way to struggle.
Yeah, dude, the wintertime coffee with a nice little shot of Baileys, there's maybe nothing better.
I don't know about the little shot part, but yeah. I think one Christmas I went through like a couple of the big, huge, giant bottles. I don't know if they were 60s or whatever, but I'm not kidding when I said my love handle expanded by 3 inches by January. I was like, wow, it's a little bit depressing and disgusting.
But you never felt better either, though. You know, at the same time, you're like, I'm so happy right now.
Exactly, because you don't care if you're buzzed on Baileys and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I love Christmas cake. I'm just
now,
kidding.
How
I'm
have the,
just for the record.
How have the other activities been going? Have you been able to do any more, like, the Tough Mudder style things or anything like that?
No, I did that one in June, and then I'm trying to think if I've done anything else kind of awesome. I haven't really done anything super spectacular since then. I've just been in the gym training, and that's about it, really. It's gym and work.
And how's work going?
Oh, it's a beauty.
She said it's a beauty. Now,
well, Skippy, we all can't work at a grow shop. I mean, it's funny that River's like, yeah, everybody up here smokes pot. Skippy, like, works at a grow shop.
Yeah, but my shop is designed to help the indoor gardener become sufficient and stay away from GMO and pesticide-based products. It is to help make them the fishermen, not just catch them the fish.
Oh, my goodness.
Like a... I'm a gardening guru. Lepaki and then give me crap because I wear overalls.
You would blend right in the area that I'm from.
I hope that's a good thing. Oh, so, you know, last time we talked to you, you know, you were able to talk, you know, about going pro. Now you're focusing on getting, I guess, basically just one last fight in to get everything back in the areas you want and working and mentally, physically where you want to be to make that run in the pro division. You know, what's the long term? Will we see you by spring or summer, do you know? Are you guys just concerned right now about this one fight and not about scheduling your first pro fight?
It totally depends on where Invicta's going to come from. They released the card info this past week, and I didn't hear anything from them, so I'm pretty sure, like 90% sure, that I won't be on that card. And kind of I'm not that upset about it just because the way things have gone. I will appreciate being able to have another amateur fight and just get in there so I can not have any of those doubts when it comes time to fight for Invicta. I'll just feel that much more prepared for it. So I'm not really looking that far ahead. I'm just trying to, you know, stay fit, get strong, and get in the cage and, you know, be able to show people how hard I've been working for the past forever.
What was it like training without really a goal, like, you know, like without a target date of having to perform and like maybe without the pressure of fight camp for so long?
It's hard. I feel kind of adrift when that happens. You know, I like to have that to work towards. I think, you know, anybody does, it just sort of makes you feel more focused and you come at things with that intensity and that sense of purpose. But my training is pretty... like, I periodize all my training, so even if I don't have a fight date as a goal specifically, you know, I'm always, my training is broken down into, you know, 8-week blocks, so I'm always targeting a different capacity to train for myself. So I find that kind of ties me over, but, I mean, it doesn't beat knowing that there's going to be someone stepping across from you trying to, you know, bring it to you. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I know that you like to stay busy, and that long break probably definitely has you chomping at the bit.
Yeah, well, and it was a forced one, right? Like, when you're in pain and you got to strip away all the stuff you're doing and adapt and all that kind of stuff, it was just, it was also not good for my waistline. But these things happen.
What was the maybe the first few weeks back to full training like?
Oh, they were good. I mean, it was kind of nerve-wracking because, you know, my injury was a super painful one. So it's sort of nerve-wracking as you get in there and you feel around and, you know, I do stuff and then sort of wait for the aftermath. But it's been a good, I've been smart about it. I've been listening to these doctors and having faith that they're a little bit smarter than me maybe and just following their instructions. So things have been going pretty well.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, anybody who follows you and has followed you on the show knows, you know, you'd recently gotten married and all that. During your downtime, did you find that you had more time, honestly, to do things that you haven't been able to do since the marriage, you know, and the wedding and all that?
You mean like in the gym?
No, with your husband. Like,
were
you guys
like,
able
was I able to train
more? No, well, I was wondering, was you able to go take, you know, were you able to go to, like, a camping or go to the lake a little bit more with them because you had to take some downtime?
Oh, no. No, it was just full, you know, I had to train in just a lot of different ways, so I was still, I mean, I had a period of time I had to take off, but I was really, really glued to my recliner, and I just ate a lot of candy and watched pretty much all 2 billion episodes of Lost in a row. So outside of that dark period, I was just in the gym, you know, shadow boxing, just working my hands, doing rehab exercises, all that super boring, not fun, awesome stuff is what I was doing. So I still never saw my husband or my friends or the beach or the water or the sun or fresh air or anything.
Well, that's a bummer, but it was all worth it because we you hopefully destroy another opponent, you know, in just a few, you know, weeks. And it's a great, great event, like you said. I love the venue setup. It's for fans who can make it. And if you guys have never watched them, they stream it on Ustream. But if you're a fan, you want to talk about going to an intimate MMA show, that is it. I mean, you are 5 feet from the cage.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a period of life, and I take it pretty seriously, and I'm pretty dedicated to what I do. I just want to do my absolute best, so I don't go in there just to kind of half-ass it or just, you know, do what I feel like doing. I take it pretty seriously, and I give it everything I've got, and because of what my last year looks like, I'm really focused on getting in there on November 30th, and I just want people to be wowed.
Well, I have no doubt they will be. I mean, you perform at such an insane level. A lot of people felt like 2 years ago, you know, you could have probably gone pro and been very successful. And you took the time to study, practice, fine-tune. I feel sorry, honestly, for whoever steps in the cage with you for your last, you know, amateur fight. And I feel sorry for whoever steps in the cage in the pros. I think looking at the women's division in Vitka, I mean, there's 3 or 4 girls I feel that match up with you great, but there's a lot that I feel you can clean up real easily.
Yeah, well, I just want to get in there and be on that level and compete with those girls. I mean, Invicta doesn't have any terrible fighters. You know, no matter who they're going to put you against, it's going to push you to your max and probably be the toughest fight that you've had to date. So there are no easy fights in there, that's for sure. But, you know, I don't think any girls that are fighting at that level, you know, are looking for the easy way out.
And you've had a great run at Cage Rage with the 2 first-round TKOs and then the decision win over Robin.
Yeah, that was probably my least favorite fight, but I guess a win's a win, right?
Yeah. Why would you say your least favorite?
I couldn't get off what I wanted to have going on, you know what I mean? And her game plan was just to grind me against the cage and look for that takedown, and I had a hard time for the first little bit reversing her and getting her off me. So, you know, hindsight, you know, once you get out of there, you sort of analyze what you did, and I just felt like there was a lot of stuff I could have done better. That was definitely a fight that I could have finished, but I didn't let my hands go, so, you know, it happened.
Yeah. But what did you take away from that maybe as a positive? Was it, you know, maybe you can take that kind of fight where even when you can't, you know, fully implement your game plan, you're still capable of pulling out the victory?
For sure, and, you know, she pushed me so hard into that cage that I actually had a perfect imprint of the cage all across my ass cheeks, but in a bruise form. So she was like a powerful little tank. Like, yeah, it was super attractive. It was like 3D cellulite looking kind of stuff. Like, this is not, thank God it was not, you know, bathing suit season. It's not what a girl's looking for. But, so, I mean, she implemented her game plan well, and, you know, I did my best. I think I neutralized it. I didn't lose, and, you know, I didn't get the takedown and, you know, things like that. But, yeah, it was a learning experience, like you said, right?
Very true. Now,
did you find that over the last few months you worked more your striking or your grappling?
Which do I work more?
Which did you find that maybe you worked more over the last few months?
Well, to accommodate my injury, it was a lot of striking, so a lot of boxing stuff, just because that just the nature of my injury prevented me from doing some other stuff. But, you know, I give everything equal time. I'm really fortunate to have coaches that specialize in the different areas. Super, super generous with their time. So, you know, I'm lucky that way that I get a lot of one-to-one work in the gym. So I'd say they all get equal attention.
Well, you know, obviously you've gotten to take the time. You're back, you're getting back into the gym, you're getting ready to fight. You know, if everything, you know, plays out the way it should, and we're pretty much guaranteeing, and no matter who it is, you know, it's going to be a victory. You know, how fast do you think that it's going to set in that your amateur career is done and that you're going pro? Do you think mentally you're already ready, or do you think it's going to set in after that fight? It really hits you at that point.
Hopefully afterwards, hopefully, you know, when I sign the contract with which whoever the next fighter is that Invicta offers up, you know, that'll probably be the moment where it kind of hits me. But, you know, I think in this fight too, because I'm going into this fight knowing that, you know, this fight serves a very specific purpose for me. So, you know, it's time to just trust my instincts and trust all my awesome coaching and just put that exclamation point on, you know, the amateur career I had thus far.
Well, I'm excited. I will be following the news through not only Madhouse, but some of our friends in Canada, so that as soon as we hear who your opponent is, we can, you know, start pushing it more and more for everybody. But I'm excited. I love it that they're going to be they usually stream the events there, so I should be able to watch you perform for your very last time in the amateur ranks. And I wish you the best of luck. And like always, before we wrap up, we want you to take this time, whatever sponsors, any thank yous, any social media, whatever you'd like. It's your time, young lady.
Well, thanks to you guys. Thanks, of course, to all my training partners and my family and friends. And to Clench and Shining Armor MMA Apparel. And I'm sure there might be something else I'm forgetting, but I have a lot of gratitude and appreciate all the support that I get from my friends and from you guys and the MMA community as a whole. It's awesome.
Dude, I'm super stoked that you're getting back in the cage again, and I'm hoping that if they don't stream it, that somebody there will illegally stream it for me. To all the people in Canada.
Well, if they
that
don't, maybe I can reenact it with somebody for you.
Dude, that would be awesome.
This is why
you. And then after you beat them, River, you can win the MMA Madhouse Championship belt.
Excellent. This is what I've been chasing my whole career.
See?
How can you just... That's messed up, Abbasi. You know, like, I wear that belt around the house. Like, I yell at people.
I know
like,
you do.
Champ.
I know, but Skippy, we need a real champion to represent.
She's
going to
take it from me. That's not fair. She's gonna
I know.
Take
that's
it.
The
I'm
plan.
Take it easily.
That's the plan. That is the plan.
Come
is River is going to be... River is going to be the representative of MMA Madhouse with the championship strap, man.
Oh, I see how it is. You bring in a ringer. You bring in the baddest woman walking
yeah.
the planet today to beat up a little yeah. old man.
Dude, when
Ouch.
You go to the Kentucky Derby, you don't take a lame mare. You take the best one in the freaking place, bro.
This is an excellent point you bring up.
River, we always love having you on. You're such a great guest, and we love supporting you and watching you grow. And this is going to be going on for quite a few years to come, I can guarantee.
Well, thanks again, guys. I appreciate the chance when I get to talk to you. So
it's awesome. Maybe we can sneak you back on when you find out who your opponent is.
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Have a good night, young lady.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Bye, River.
And everybody, you guys can follow her at Ruckus River on Twitter. Get out there, follow her. Let's build her followers up to 10,000. Let's have it strong. Get them going, folks.
Yeah, dude.
Around.
Dude, if you're not, people should just follow her for that cover photo, dude. The chick with the cigarette and the Band-Aid, you know?
That's the coolest
That's
cover photo of
favorite.
All time.
Yeah.
Coolest one. I've actually talked to Drew about tattooing that on me, and he was like, really? You want a logo tattooed on you? And I was like, dude, it's a badass piece of art. I love it. And he's like, okay. So I might get it tattooed one day. You never know. Actually, I probably won't because I'll be getting 60 other tattoos instead. That's just how I am. How come Facebook keeps updating? I'm so sick of it.
How come what?
Facebook just updated on me again. Now all the typing, the radio show schedule, all that's different.
Yeah, I know, dude. They're constantly updating shit. They constantly blocked me last night for 12 hours.
Now, that could be because you were telling the truth.
Dude, I think it's a great idea for River to take a fight. Like, I can understand why she can't take a pro fight, I guess, because she's just, you know, she's already got the deal with Invicta. So, I mean, and, you know, I think it's good for her to get in there and really be able to shake that rust off and, you know, just remember how much fun it is to get in there and throw hands down with somebody.
Well, whoever that somebody is better be talented.
And that's also a way, you know, that she'll be able to know herself that, the injuries in the past, I understand a lot of people don't think like these guys coming back, you know, like Cruz or GSP. I thought they should have had a fight before they defended their belt. You know, before Cruz defends his belt, he should have to have a fight with somebody before.
Dude, I don't even want to hear that, man. I've been bitching about that for 2.5-3 years now, and you know what? I saw that interview the other day where the UFC is going to put a mandatory time limit on, you know, injured, not being able to defend your title, whatever you want to say, you know, and that the interim title holder at that time will become champion automatically. And you know what? I've said it. I'll say it again, folks. Interim titles are nothing more than number one contender belt. Look,
Zumba, Zumba.
If you're title holder in an X amount of period, and I'm fair, folks, I'm not trying to be an ass, but if you can't defend your title every 12 months, then you need to vacate it, let the number two and the number one contender fight for it and claim a new champion. And when you're healthy, you're over your drugs, you're over your steroids, you're over your injury, you're over your divorce, whatever your personal problem is that stops you from fighting, you can come back and, like Lepaki said, we'll put you in against the number four guy. You beat him, you get a number one contender shot. But this stuff about, I'm going to sit on the shelf for 18 months and I'm the title champion. No, you're not. You're a chump. You're not fighting. You're nothing. It's about what you did today in the ring, folks. Everybody can be honest about that. It's not about what you did 6 years ago. It's not about what you did 2 years ago. It's about what you're doing in the cage today. And if you're not defending your title at a regular interval of, I believe a champion should defend the title four times a year, if he's truly the champ, he can beat guys four times a year. I think that's fair. Unless there's a major injury, four times a year is fair. Defend yourself. Show the world you're the best. I believe that four times a year is totally a legitimate pace for a champion to defend his title. And if you can't do it at least once a year, you should be stripped of your title.
Dude, I think three is max, bro. Because you can bet, man, if I'm the champ, after every fight, I'm taking a month where I'm, like, in Saint-Tropez on a yacht, like, with my feet up and some ladies in bikinis and vodka.
You run a laid-back organization. If I run one, I want my champions fighting. I want the world to know I have the best, and you bring them on.
I'm the champion, bro. I'm fighting every 4 months, man. That's good enough, bro. That gives me a month of vacation, 3 months for camp, and then fight.
I'll give it to you
and then
five.
A month for vacation,
I'll give it to you.
3 months.
Three.
3 months for
I'll
camp.
Give you three. But it yeah. better be three times a year unless there's an injury, you know, that, you know, stops him from being.
What if you don't have
do
enough
that?
Contenders? What if you only have two guys for me to fight 1 year?
What you, well, obviously you're not bringing in the best.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you are. Two times a year
well,
is,
you bring,
is a
good
pace.
If you bring in the best,
for
in, my
champ,
opinion, in my opinion, any top 10 fighter in my weight classes, in my organization, are top 10 because they're the best, and any one of those top 10 should be able to hold that title and take it.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, the waffle place in Portland just started following me on Twitter.
Boom.
Okay, so here's an interesting segue that the poll question has taken. So on Facebook, everybody says XFC. On Tapology, everybody says Bellator. Five votes for Bellator so far.
I need to go over to Tapology and correct those folks and tell them XFE.
XFE? Dude, that's on Saturday night, bro.
I know. Just
fucking mess the poll question. See, this is why we never have successful poll questions. But look at how good this one is. It's like five people on Facebook say, I need to go look at the... I'm not a big fan of this crap that's going on here with the new font and crap. It's kind of pissing me off.
It's weird. Like in my messages, I was like, huh? Everything just looks government.
Why are we why were we trying to hire people?
Battle at the Mountain. Tommy Leisman takes on Nick Gilardi. Who do you think wins that? I say Nick Gilardi wins that bad boy all day. I think he can, my only concern is Tommy's wrestling.
What did you say?
Tommy Leisman versus Nick Gilardi.
Oh, I think Nick wins.
That battle at the Mountain on November 2nd. That's going up against Cage Warrior Combat. By the way, folks, go to Cage Warrior Combat's Facebook page. Text to win a VIP package to that kick-ass event. Jeff, the Snowman Monster, takes on Michael 300 Hayes to see who dominates the Pac Northwest in the heavyweight division. Will it be the man who was banished for the last 10 years coming home, or will it be the crowd favorite?
Does Munson make it to the fight November 2nd without getting hurt?
Dude, Munson's got 86 fights between now and November 2nd, folks. 86 fights.
With 83 of them in Russia.
I just saw he signed a one for the week after.
Yeah. He's got, like, three fights with top 50 guys in the weight class in the next four weeks or some shit.
Yeah. Homeboy ain't playing around.
He's like, it's time to slay. Time to slay them. Jared Torgerson just signed a title fight at Rogue Fight. That'll be interesting.
Big shout out, giving him some love on the show tonight. They were big fans of him.
Booyah, booyah. Felice Herrig versus Tisha Torres. Tisha's going to whip that ass, son. What do you think about that fight, Skip?
I got dudes. Yes, we talked about it earlier, man. I think Felice is going to lose that fight. I think Felice is a good fighter. Do I think she's top 10? No. Do I think that she's a sellable, marketable product that has been very smart with her management and PR team to promote her? She has done an amazing, amazing job. She could sell white to rice, okay? I'm not lying. But does selling products and being a good fighter compete with Torres, who I believe is a great fighter, who I believe is beyond talented? Whether it's standing up or down on the ground, I think she is a well-rounded fighter, and I don't think Felice is at her level quite yet. And I think, honestly, Felice loses, and Felice loses badly.
Yeah, I think Tisha submits her. It'll be interesting, though, you know? Felice is a bigger, I mean, she's fought at 125. Like, I'm not saying it. When I say she's bigger, it's just like, and, you know, she's fought up at a higher weight class. I mean, I don't think Tisha's ever fought at 125. I might be wrong. I don't know, dude. Can't think right now. I like that.
Well, I believe, you know, I think that, I just don't think the hands or the ground is from Felice is up to par. You face her yet? I just don't. I definitely the hands. Like, you know, once again, folks, this is why they step into the cage. This is why they step into the ring. This is why they go onto the mat. Is because me and Lepaki can sit here and talk about it till we're blue in the face, but until they settle it in one of those three arenas, it's all talk. And, you know, it's all guess. It's all, you know, stats. It's all hypotheticals. It's, you know, until they've performed and we can critique it, you know, it's our opinions, and that's all it really is. But, I mean, we're pretty good with our opinions. I mean, shit, Lepaki nails a lot of picks on Tapology. You know, we talk to thousands of fighters around the world at every level of every sport in the combat and grappling world. And, you know, I got to say, I really believe that Felice is outclassed in this fight. I just do. I mean, I've watched Felice's last couple fights. Look, you watched, and anybody on the show knows, I'm a huge fan of Little Pete. I'm loyal to the fault with her. I love that young lady. I think she's phenomenal what she did in her amateur career, and she's had an okay, if not subpar, pro career. And for Felice not to be able to just destroy her, left a lot of doubt in my mind about Felice's game at the time. And I don't believe that she's progressed that much.
You don't?
No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, her last bit of competition hasn't been, you know, stellar, out of control. You're like, wow, this is a fight we need to see. I
guess I can kind of agree there.
Let's be honest. You know, I think her toughest fight since her loss in 2011 was Heather Joe Clark. And that was a split decision loss, folks, back in the Bellator days when they still had females fighting there. But unanimous decision over Patricia, unanimous over Sukupova, and then another unanimous over Patricia. I mean, and a loss to Carla Esperanza. So, let's be honest. Out of those people, Heather Jo Clark, for her wins in the last 2 years, is her best win, and it was a split. That means she didn't win it in everybody's eyes. You know? So, I mean, and we go back even farther, Barb Hancock just worked her for 3 rounds. And then she comes back to beat Andrea Miller and Nicola Rivera. You know, two fighters, neither one of them have ever made much of an advancement in their careers. You know, so they're getting, she's getting wins over regional average fighters. You know, look, Amanda, Andre Miller, folks, 3-7. That's her record. You know, 8-7 is Nicoleta's record. You know, win-loss, 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 loss, loss, win, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. That's, dude, you're not beating top competition. It's just, I'm, and it's no disrespect to the ladies she's fighting. They're getting better, or they're never going to get better, but they're regional fighters at this point in their career. Beating, you know, Patricia, I would love to say meant a lot more than it did. And then coming back less than a year later, less than a year, and facing somebody you already beat, and you have the exact same performance. The exact. You don't hurt her enough to stop the fight. You never get her in a dangerous position to sub her. And it's pretty much a power grapple game that you won. So what did you do to improve your game against an opponent you had the same game plan and have already been in there with less than a year ago? And you pull out the same performance. You laid an egg in my book. You're not there. Then you go in against Heather Jo Clark, who's on her upright, and I guarantee you if that fight happened today, it wouldn't have gone to a decision. Heather Jo Clark has jumped by leaps and bounds. Didn't you just have her on a show recently?
Yeah.
You know.
She's awesome.
You're talking to her? Yeah. So do you believe today that fight would be the same? No. I mean, just in 6 months,
I don't think the judges got that fight right.
You believe
that? I didn't think Felice won that fight. I didn't think Felice won that fight. I thought Heather Jo won that fight. I also think, if I remember right, the second little P fight with Felice was a lot closer than a than what that thing should have been. I can't remember if I thought little P won or not, but I'll need to rewatch that one.
Dude, now, I did give little P round one, round two was a push, round three was a Felice for the rematch in my book. But round two was very close. Round one was definitely...
Yeah.
Took her down three times in round one, but just couldn't do anything. Then round two, they both had two takedowns, but Little P had tighter hands, but that head kick that wobbled Little P is what stole the round probably for Felice. But round three was all Felice. So I agree. You know, so we're talking a rematch in Heather Jo Clark, two fights that were either closer or didn't come out with the outcome we believe they did. Do you really believe with who Torres has fought? And the fights that she's been taking outside of MMA in the stand-up game?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I think, you know,
I don't think any of that can hurt. What about the tiny tornado?
Oh,
Skippy.
I don't remember now. I was about to say something, I forgot.
Oh, one of those, eh, buddy?
Yes, it was. I was just trying to think.
So,
she beat who? Rose last, right? Wasn't that her last victory?
Yeah, she beat Rose last.
Before that was that. That war with Paige, that's right, and then she beat Kaya Rang. You know, and then let's go back. Let's just go back to her amateur career, folks. Obviously, anybody who followed her know that she beat Sarah McLeod, she beat Ashley Greenway, Amber Stauffenberger. You know, she, I believe, was undefeated in her amateur career as well. But her fight...
Yeah, she's undefeated, bro.
Her fight to the pro career, let's be honest. Do you really think Felice could beat Rose in a straight-up fight? No.
I don't think she would either.
Paige, I think, might be a good fight for them two. I think Felice could give Paige, because Paige is so young in the sport still and not been seasoned as well.
And I think they have a real similar skill. They have a real similar skill set, you know? Like, they're going to get in and try to get the clinch and work there, and then if they can separate and throw some heavy hands, they'll do that.
Yeah.
And I think that Felice would win that fight because she's better at that style than Paige is at this point.
Yeah, I can agree with you that 100%. Folks, everybody out there that joined us tonight, John Herring, we wish you best of luck at the Abu Dhabi trials coming up. To Miss River Ruckus Jones, one of all-time favorite sponsored fighters, we wish you the best of luck coming up at Rage in the Cage. God, I forgot the club. But I'll shoot you guys links as soon as we know the dates and the exact every information for the stream. But we thank you both for joining us tonight. To all our great sponsors, you know, I couldn't do this without you guys. So I want to give a big shout-out to all our kick-ass sponsors. And we'll start with probably one of the coolest companies out there who just today released the new Cubicle Into the Cage t-shirt, which I'm buying one, Draco Impact Sports. You guys check them out, Draco Impact Armor, Bushido, all the same company, Jack Media, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Vision Smoke Shop, and Glass Distribution, 888 Poker, Big T's Nightclub, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Crossroader Clothing, Tank Crimes, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike. Big shout out to Derek. Thank you for the love, brother. Game Changer Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, and soon to be coming one of my all-time favorite clothing companies not related to MMA who are making the transition to this side of the cage. I can't wait to start using them as a sponsor, but I can't say anything yet.
Who?
I'm so... Dude, they're badass.
Who?
Did I forget anybody?
Joe.
I feel like I forgot somebody. Oh, hey, big shout out to Javier in Revolver MMA, brother. I love you. He is now the new sponsor on The Rogue Show. So you guys go check out The Rogue Show. Check out our great sponsors over there as well. Friday night, open lines. We're breaking down live at Bangkok. Rebels of MMA from Bangkok. We're also going to talk about Dwayne Spivey, and we also have Go Fight Live giving away XFE tickets and iPay-per-views.
And you can call in with questions about Cubicle to the Cage episode that will be airing live Thursday, right? On Top MMA
Thursday.
News? It's on Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. It airs live on RadX Television Friday. Top MMA News releases the blog. Saturday, we release the blog, which I love, dude. It's great. I love working with those guys. Let's wrap it up. I'm going to send you guys out with a great commercial from...
Who are you going to go get off, man, if you're wrapping it up? You're wrapping it up after you're getting them off, or you're wrapping it up before you're getting them off?
Both.
That's a little weird.
Eagle.
I'm assuming
Intimidation Clothing has proven.
Hold on. Okay, what?
I'm assuming Jeff must not have listened to the show because he didn't see what I posted in that thread.
I saw that too. Okay, Eagle.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.